Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
So, how are your seeds getting on? Well, Caroline seeds, they're sprouting. But it's what they represent, isn't it? That God has heard and honored the words that we sowed in faith. And as you keep watering those seeds with thanksgiving, watering those words, those promises with thanksgiving, God will bring them to fulfillment. Amen? Well, we've got no seeds and no pots and nothing like that this week. You can't repeat a good thing, can you? So it's going to be different this week. Amen? Now, we know that through Jesus, all creation came into being. So when we look at all the creation around us, we know it was through Jesus that all that began. When we look at the stars, when we see the sun and the moon, and when we hear scientists explaining to us how vast the universe is, billions of galaxies and billions of stars in each of the galaxies. Absolutely immense. And it makes us realize just how great God must be. Because, of course, he is greater than everything that he has made. So the vastness of the universe simply speaks to us of how great, how vast, how mighty God is. But the amazing thing is that this great God who brought all that into being became man in Jesus. Because on this one planet, out of all these billions and billions of stars and planets that exist, he placed a people who were to be just like him. And as far as we know, in the whole of the rest of creation, there is no other place where God has created a people to be just like him. So, Jesus came and revealed not only how great God is, but how great his love is, and how great his compassion and his concern for all these people that were created to be just like him. Now, in the Gospels that we have in the New Testament, Jesus is described in many ways, and he describes himself in many ways. One of those ways is as the Good Shepherd. And that's why we're going to put the focus this morning. Now, this is a shepherd's crook. So I want you to just imagine for a moment that I am Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And what he did was to come among his people, and they weren't seated round nice tables like this with a drink on hand, but they would be standing out in the boiling hot sun, listening to him for hours and hours as he preached the gospel, as he told them all about God's kingdom and how he explained to them that he wanted them all to belong to the kingdom. Now, he preached to great crowds of people, thousands of them sometimes. We know that he performed miracles sometimes, like feeding the great multitudes. But of course, not all of them were following him as disciples. Not all of them were following him because they loved him. Many of them were there just for the miracles, just because they had a need. Perhaps they needed healing. And Jesus, in his love and compassion, even for the people in need, he healed all those who came to him. But out of all these people to whom he was speaking, he called some by name. And he said to them, "Come, follow me." That was a way of saying, "Come and belong to me. Come and be my children, my people, now and actually even beyond this life for all eternity in heaven." Jesus would have liked everybody to become disciples and follow him, but he knew that not everybody were willing to do that, that only some were prepared to turn their hearts and their lives over to him. Now, of course, Jesus knew everything. He would even know the names of people. I don't know your name. What's your name?
Joash.
Joash. So, Joash, come, follow me. Just follow me. Now, you see, if someone is following Jesus, Jesus is always ahead of them. He's always leading them in the way that he wants them to go. All they have to do is to keep their focus and their eyes on him. So he would choose all kinds of people, fishermen, tax collectors, even a political zealot. And that's nice that you're doing. What's your name?
Naomi.
Naomi. Naomi, come and follow me. You see, because when people followed Jesus, they often had to leave what they were doing. Just like the fishermen had to leave their nets. Do you want to follow Jesus? Okay, what's your name? Reuben. Reuben, you come and follow me. Of course, he called older people as well as younger people. But the younger ones are always willing to be obedient. I don't know about the older ones. So all the time, Jesus was looking for those who would become his disciples. What's your name, dear?
Aaliyah.
Come on, Aaliyah. You come and follow me too. So these four just represent many, many more. And Jesus would take them with him wherever he went. Sometimes he would sit down when he taught them and when he taught the people. And that was always significant, because when he sat down, he was speaking with authority. So nobody questioned him, nobody interrupted him. But there were other times when he would stand in the temple courts and in other places, and he would teach, but then people could ask him questions and he could ask them questions. There could be dialogue. It's totally the opposite, isn't it? In our churches today, when the preacher stands up, you don't expect anybody to interrupt. But if we want to have a discussion, we sit down and we sit round tables and we talk. But in Jesus' time, it was totally the opposite. Now, we're going to discover what it really means to follow Jesus. So I want you around your tables just for the next 5 minutes. And those of you that are in the stalls over there, you can just get into groups of about 4 or 5. And I want you to talk, what do you think the most important things are in following Jesus? So just, you have to talk to one another to do that. Is that all right? So I'm giving you liberty now. Although I'm standing, I'm giving you liberty to talk to one another. You four can talk together if you want. Do you want to sit down, or you can just sit down on the step for a moment? Because I need you again in a little while, okay? Ask the young ones what they think. Don't ignore the younger ones. Okay, well, let's just bring our discussions to a close. Now, these four got some really good answers, so you're going to have to do well to do better than they've done. Before we try to answer the question, let's remember what Jesus said. I need my sheep. Can you all stand, you four? Now, just follow me. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. So they've been obedient. They've heard my voice and followed me. Now, in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, Jesus explains that he is the gate for the sheep as well as the good shepherd. Now, we have to understand what it meant to be a shepherd in the time of Jesus. Because we think today of turning sheep out into a nice, lush, green field and just leaving them to get on with the business of eating and getting fat. But in Jesus' time, it wasn't like that. In the Middle East, the shepherd, you'll have to follow me again, the shepherd would walk at about this pace all day long. He would walk 10, 15 kilometers, about 10 miles a day. And the reason why he was doing that is because the vegetation was very sparse. In fact, if you have ever been to the Holy Land and you've traveled from Jerusalem towards the Jordan, towards the Dead Sea, that route, you go over a very rocky desert and you see these flocks of sheep, and all you can see is no vegetation. You just see this rocky land and you wonder what on earth these sheep are eating. Well, they're actually eating seeds, because although it only rains in those areas very infrequently, when it rains, suddenly a whole lot of vegetation sprouts up, and that drops seeds. And so the sheep are feeding on those seeds. But the shepherd has to be very careful that they don't eat all the seeds. Otherwise, after the next rainfall, there won't be any vegetation. So he keeps them moving, making sure that they, during the course of that time, are having sufficient food to sustain them, but they're not eating out all the vegetation, all the seeds that are there. So then it comes to nighttime. And of course, in Jesus' time, there were wolves and all kinds of wild animals that would prey upon the sheep. So he had to or the shepherd had to make sure that the sheep were going to be secure and safe. So he would take them to what we would call a kind of corral, a big sheep pen, and there would probably be four or five different shepherds all leading their sheep to this one sheep pen. The shepherds had been walking all day, so they needed a rest. So they would hire someone to look after the sheep at night. And of course, the purpose of the one that was hired was if any animals, dangerous animals, came to attack the sheep, they would shoo off the animals. But Jesus says in chapter 10 of John that often the hirelings, those that were just hired, they didn't really care for the sheep in the same way that the shepherd did, because the sheep belonged to the shepherd. And sometimes the hireling would flee and leave the sheep. But you would have four or five different flocks of sheep all mingled together in this one sheep pen. So in the following morning, the shepherd would come and he would call his sheep by name. And each of them would come out of the sheep pen. So just assume I've called you all by name. My memory is such I can't even remember all your names now. But Jesus, the shepherd, would know the names of all his sheep. He would call them by name, and only his sheep would leave the sheep pen. The other sheep would not recognize the voice of the shepherd, so they wouldn't follow him. They would wait for their own shepherd. So when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," it's because he has called each of his sheep by name. So they leave the pen and they follow him. Now, what's the most important thing about following Jesus? There are two things, really. These four got the first one very quickly. The first one is love. Because Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my command." And the first command he gives is follow me. Which means that he is going to lead you to where he wants you to go in your life. The other one, of course, is faith, is to trust him. The sheep trusted the shepherd because they knew his voice. He was their shepherd. So you can always trust the voice of Jesus, whether he speaks by his word or what he says by his spirit to encourage our faith in his word. We know that he will always fulfill his word, that he watches over his word to fulfill it. Now, of course, what Jesus did with his disciples was to lead them where they never expected him to go. And that was to a cross. They couldn't understand why this man that they'd come to recognize as God's son, who they knew loved him, loved them, who they'd learned to trust, that whatever he said always came into being. They'd watched the outworking of his faith, seeing so many people healed and lives changed and transformed. They were absolutely perplexed as to why he should need to die on a cross. And what Jesus had to explain to them just before he went to the cross, he said, I'm going to die for you because I love you. You've seen all the ways I've loved you during my ministry, but now you're going to see the full extent of my love. I'm going to give my life for you so that instead of me being with you, my life can be in you. And that's going to be much, much better. Much better to have my life in you than just for me to be with you. But my life can't be in you unless first I give my life for you. So, of course, the disciples were full of grief, weren't they, when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross. But when they met with him in his risen body, they were full of joy. Why the shepherd? Well, we call this shepherd's crook, don't we? Because what the shepherd could do would be to use this to rescue the sheep that had gone astray, that were perhaps caught in a thicket or a bush or something, drag them out of holes and back into the place of safety. It's a sign that the shepherd was the savior, was the rescuer. And so these disciples came to understand that they had been rescued. Now, you're still following me, aren't you? Isn't that good? But do you notice something? I'm not forcing them. They're not like dogs on a lead that have to go where I cause them to go. They're not like horses that have reins on. They're sheep, completely free to go where they choose. And sheep, by nature, are very unreliable in that respect. They can wander all over the place, which is why it was important for them in Jesus' time to know the voice of the shepherd, so they followed him. But you remember when David talked about Jesus being the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He understood that if Jesus was his shepherd, he could never be in need of anything. Jesus would always supply, God would always supply for him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But he says an interesting thing right at the end of that Psalm 23. He said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I always think goodness and mercy are the sheepdogs. You know, Jesus is leading, and goodness and mercy are at the back, just making sure that they all keep moving. His goodness, his mercy, every day, his mercy. His mercies are new every day, aren't they? He's always the God of goodness. He's always doing good things in our lives. But sometimes sheep go astray. Now, I'm not going to ask any of you to go astray, but you see, if you were to go astray, I could. And you know, sheep do go astray. They sometimes, don't they? No, nobody here, of course. But I mean, it is known that sheep do go astray, and because they have free will, God doesn't stop them. He lets them do their own thing. Just so far until they get in a mess and say, "Oh, Lord, save me. I departed from your ways. I shouldn't have done." He says, "It's all right. Come on back. Come on back. Come on back." And he restores them completely. Isn't he a great God of mercy? Hallelujah. And the amazing thing is that he never judges them for going astray. He doesn't lecture them and say, "You shouldn't have gone astray." Because they're sheep. You don't lecture sheep, do you? You don't lecture them, you lead them. And so Jesus is just welcoming people back. Like the father in the parable with the prodigal son. He just welcomed him back. He didn't lecture him, didn't punish him, didn't judge him, didn't condemn him. He said, "Welcome back, let's have a feast. This sheep of mine, this son of mine that had gone astray, has now come back." Sadly, one of the other sheep, the older brother, he wasn't so forgiving, was he? He wasn't so merciful. He was very condemning. "I've been faithful, I've been doing," you know, full of himself. He didn't even want to acknowledge that that brother that had messed up so badly was his brother. He said, "This son of yours," not "this brother of mine, "this son of yours has wasted all his inheritance. Now you kill the fatted calf and you have a celebration for him." That just shows why Jesus said to the disciples, "These things I have said to you about loving him, trusting him." You read what he says to the disciples at the Last Supper, this last time that he was going to sit down and teach them before he went to the cross. And you'll see all the time he's talking about love and faith, love and faith, love and faith. It's like the two themes are being intertwined all the time. Love and faith, love and faith, love and faith. Love me. And if you love me, you'll obey me. Trust me. Trust the Father. Trust all. Put your trust also in me. If you believe in me, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Love and faith, love and faith, love and faith. That's the essence of what it is to follow Jesus. So all of us that are sheep, we say, "I love Jesus." But to say "I love Jesus" means I want to follow him, and I can only follow him by obeying him, not by straying from his ways, not by going into my own ways, not by having my own agenda. And if I really love him, then I trust him. And if I trust him, he will never fail me. His word will never fail me. His promises will never fail. And that is why this is a good word to follow up what we were doing last week with the seeds and the pots. Thanking God that those seeds of faith which we've sown will come to fulfillment. God will honor his word. Now, at this time of year, we look forward to the beginning of what is really the start of the church's year. It always starts in September, doesn't it? And I believe here at Kingdom Faith, through all that God has been saying to us in recent months, this is going to be a great season. God has got great things. But you see, what he's saying to us this morning is those great things aren't going to come because you sat down and planned anything. You can never plan for what God is going to do. Leadership isn't people sitting down and planning the church's program. Church leadership is listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's listening to what God is saying and knowing all we have to do is to follow the Lord, to follow the Good Shepherd. And he is going to lead us into all the great things that he's prepared for us. Every day that I pray, it seems that God is encouraging us, not about great things that lie sometime in the future, but the great things that are about to break free amongst us here. I'm so excited by that, aren't you? What a wonderful God. And what is our love for him? It's just really a very pale, weak response to that amazing love that he has for us. That this great creator of the universe has touched each one of our lives, and he's called each one of us by name. And he said, "Colin, come follow me." And when you answer that call, you never know where he's going to lead you. But you always know it's going to be good. Amen. That he is going to bring you to the fulfillment of everything that he has purposed for your life when he first called you. Even if you feel, well, I haven't always followed him, or I've been about half-hearted in the way I followed him, or there's ways in which I need to come back to him. He knows the end from the beginning. And the scripture says he knows each one that he has called. And he knows that he will fulfill the plan that he has for your life. All you've got to do is follow him. Shall we thank these four? Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. You can go back to your place. Let's all stand. We're just going to pray together as we finish. I want you just to close your eyes and focus on Jesus. The most profound messages are the most simple. And this is such a simple message this morning, but it's so profound in its implications. I want you to thank the God of the universe that out of all the billions of people, he called you by name. He chose you deliberately. He set you apart for himself and for his purposes. He wanted you to be one of his sheep. He chose to become your good shepherd, so that you would lack nothing. Can you thank God for that? Thank you, Lord, that you are my shepherd, that you provide for me in every way, so that I lack nothing. That's the faith confession of my heart this morning, that you are my shepherd and I lack nothing. That if ever I have a need, that need is always met in you. It's always answered by you. Thank you, Lord, that you lead me in the way that you want me to go. Now, can you just reaffirm your decision to follow Jesus? To follow him during this coming season? Into all those good things that he has prepared for us to walk in. That's what the scripture says. He's prepared good things for us to walk in. He's going to lead you into those good things. Can you thank him for that? You won't even know what all those good things are at this moment, but he has prepared them for you. Hallelujah. Can you thank him that the sheepdog are at your heels? His love and mercy are encouraging you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you will not let me go. Some of you might feel that, you know, you spent a time right away from Jesus, but he's brought you back, hasn't he? He wouldn't let you go. He wouldn't let you go because you're his and he loves you. And he's determined to see the fulfillment of his purpose in your life. Hallelujah. Maybe there's a few people here this morning, visitors, that you've never understood that God has chosen you. In fact, the reason why you're here this morning is for him to tell you, I've chosen you. If I hadn't chosen you, you wouldn't be here this morning. I wanted you to hear this message. And I want you to agree in your heart to follow me. Because I have such good things for you. And life will be so much better following me than just walking in your own way. Can you make that decision right now? Are you willing to do that? He's not forcing you. He doesn't put a lead on you and force you to go where he wants you to go. He doesn't put reins on you. He says, no, be my sheep. Be one of my sheep. You choose to follow me. And what he will do is he will enable you, he will bring you into a relationship with him where you will know his voice. You will be able to hear him speak to you through the scriptures, through by the life of his spirit who will come to live in you. So that you know his will and can follow him. Can you tell him that now? He knows if you're doing that or not. He's hearing you because he knows what is in the heart and mind of every person in this room. You can simply say to him, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you now. I'm making that decision. And thank you that you're going to show me what that means and how I can receive your life, the life that you gave on the cross, how I can receive your life to enable me. Thank you, Jesus. Now just thank the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's everyone just praise him. Oh Lord, it's so good to belong to you, to know that you will never cast us off. You will never deny us. Hallelujah. That you've chosen us for eternity. Praise your holy name. And Lord, just as you are faithful in your love towards us, so we pray for a spirit of faithfulness to be at work in our lives, that we will be faithful to you, faithful in following you, faithful, Lord, in obeying your voice, faithful in obeying those commands that you give to us, not out of law, but out of love for you, Lord, that loving obedience. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of faith coming to operate in our lives so that we trust you at all times. We bless your holy name. Come on, let's just lift our hands and let's just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. What a mighty God you are. And thank you, Lord, that your plans for us are good. Thank you, Lord, that we're entering into this season now where we are going to see such great and mighty things in our lives. And we're going to see so many more people rescued with your shepherd's crook. You're going to pull them out of the thickets where they're trapped, out of the holes into which they've fallen. And you're going to lift them out and you're going to bring them into your kingdom and you're going to fill them with your joy. And thank you, Lord, that these things you have spoken to us, that your joy may be in us and that our joy may be full. Come on, let's rejoice in the Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.